May this be the prayer of our hearts as we prepare our hearts for the message today. Good singing. You may be seated. Before we look into James again, we're going to be in James chapter 5 for those of you who have your Bibles or you want to follow on your phones. When I was praying about the coronavirus, we have a lot of medical professionals here, some of whom aren't here today, but we need to pray for those medical professionals also, that God would shelter them. So I don't want to embarrass anybody, but the medical professionals that are here today, would you stand, please? Okay. Would you just join me in praying for them, you know, as they go through this? Father, we are so grateful for the work that these dear people do. And we pray your hedge of protection around them, especially during this time. In a very real sense, Father, as they minister and treat people, they become susceptible themselves, Father. And so guard them, watch them, provide for them in every way. And we just raise them up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And we thank you. We thank you. Now I have a question for all of you. How many of you can use help and patience? Well, you know, I there's been this saying going around the church for a lot of years, you know, be careful what you pray for. Don't pray for patience because God's going to put you in a circumstance. Well, guess what? Whether you pray for it or not, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And if it hasn't happened yet, it will. You can take that to the bank. There's different types of patience. Some of you, you know, there are people who are using dash cams more and more, right? And some of those dash cams record your voice, whether, you know, if you invoke that option. And it's interesting. I'd like to see some of those posted because I wonder how patient we really are when we sit in traffic or when somebody cuts us off or we cut somebody off. I wonder how patient we are when we're in the grocery line and you're about five people back and somebody's paying with pennies. I mean, we can go on and on, but here's where the real test comes in. The real test will come in when our patience is tested in time of suffering. That's when the real test comes in, isn't it? In times of suffering. I met a man who I worked with many years ago. We were both in Wawa, right, Bonnie? Common meeting place, right? We were both in Wawa getting coffee, and he looked really down and dejected. And I went up to him, and I said, hey, man, are you okay? He says, not really. And he's a believer. He's a Christ follower. A good guy. And he was telling me some of the stuff that he was going through. And I said, hey, I don't have all the answers. I really don't. But I can tell you this. You don't have to hang your head low. Just keep looking up. Just keep looking up. And I met him again probably about 6 years ago. This happened, gosh, I was still in seminary back in the 80s. And that's when this particular instance happened. I saw him about 5 years ago, and he comes up to me. He gives me this great big hug. He's Italian, right? Mm-hmm. Gives me this great big hug, and he says, never forgot what you said. And he says, and I'm still looking up. Patience seems to be an uncommon virtue in our culture today. Isn't that true? It's a rat race. Everybody's off doing everything. You know, they want everything right now. Some people want it yesterday. It should be more common in the church since the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, peace, patience, kindness, and we can go on, but it should be the fruit of the Spirit. So if there's ever patience being acted upon by faith, it should be in the church. Would it wake you up to know that 80%, it's even higher now, I think it's up to about 85 or 86% of those professing to know Christ as their Lord and Savior don't finish well? That's sad. One of the reasons for that is because of patience. Because when suffering comes, that puts us in a position, and there's no in between here, that puts us in a position of either trusting God in the process and being obedient to Him, or taking matters into our own hands and making them worse almost all the time. Isn't that true? There's no in between here. Some of us try to keep one foot and give it to God and one foot and we want to take it back. And I used this illustration a couple of weeks ago. It's like standing on a dock trying to get into a boat that's not tied. You're going to end up falling. And that's what happens. The test of patience will always happen during times of suffering. And by the way, just so you know, I'm not making this up. In the beginning of James, he says what? Count it all joy when trials and temptations come your way. Now, you read that and you say, is this guy sick? You know, I mean, is he serious? Totally counterculture, by the way. Is this guy serious? Yeah, he's absolutely serious. Because if we learn to wait on God, if we learn what patient waiting is, if we learn to trust God in the process, He is going to develop in us Christ-like character that we can't even imagine. And the Bible calls that maturity. Well, Pastor, is there an easier way? No, it's not an easier way. That's the journey we're all on. Now listen, please don't throw anything at me. If we are honest with ourselves, when we experience a lack of patience, we really have a problem with God's timing. Isn't that true? We have a problem with God's timing. We have not only His timing, but His provision and His love. You don't know how many times I hear people say, does God love me anymore? Has He forgotten about me? I mean, and listen, we've all been there, okay? And I'm not trying to present a holy endow. I'm trying to give you the realistic picture here. It's been well said, and this is by the great author, Anonymous. God has perfect timing, never early, never late. It takes a little patience and it takes a lot of faith, but it's worth the wait. Isn't that true? The man by the name of Orrin Arnold, I have no idea who he is, but he developed a prayer for the modern American in relation to patience. Are you ready for it? Dear God, I pray for patience and I want it now. Well, you may not get patience right now, but God may bring a season of suffering to teach us what it is to wait on Him. I want to bring you through these verses because James gives us a lot of insight here into this. Okay. This is written in command language. In other words, when James is writing to the believers, the Jewish believers that are dispersed in the area because of persecution, here's what he's saying. And here's the background. Life's tough. Some of you had to leave your land because you're being persecuted. Some of you had to leave because your employers fired you because you're a Christ follower. And here's what he says. Be patient. Wasn't a suggestion. This is a command. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until when? Lord's coming. You know what he's saying? Be patient. Keep looking up. Keep looking up. Because Lord's coming. I don't know when. It was obvious that some people in the past who predicted the day and the time didn't know when either. But it's not for us to know when. But you know what is for us to do? It's to live in loving obedience to Him until He comes. You know what that's going to take? Patience. And then James uses a couple of illustrations here. Oh, by the way, before I get off that first part of that verse, I want to just assure you, as sure as Jesus came the first time, He's coming back the second time. There's no question here. When he comes back, that is the Father's business. Jesus says that, right, in the gospel. He's coming again. Personally, I'd be okay if he came today. I don't know if you would, but if you're not, you better make sure you get right with him. If he came today, that would be okay with me. But until then, keep looking up. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting. I'm laughing here for a reason. I'll tell you why. For the autumn and spring rains. Is there a difference between waiting and patiently waiting?
Yes.
Tell me the difference. That's good. Yeah. There's a trust issue here, right? There's a trust issue here. Let me give you my vision of what it means to wait impatiently. And this is from years ago, before they allowed husbands to go into the delivery room for the baby. You go, you know, you in the waiting room, you're pacing, man. And you're going back and forth wondering if everything's okay. That's not waiting patiently. That's worry waiting, if I could put it that way. And then to watch, you know, the doctors come out, because they didn't have the technology back then to say, yay, you know, Mr. So-and-so, you're the proud father of Sally. And you're also the proud father of Emily. Yeah. Twins. And down they go. And down they go. But patiently waiting is comes out of a relationship that's settled between you and God to say, Lord, I've been obedient. I planted the seed. It's being watered. And one day you're going to bring the harvest. And I'm okay waiting on that. When I looked at that term patiently waiting, I recently just watched a couple of reruns of the Andy Griffith Show, right? Mayberry. One of the episodes took place on a Sunday. And you know what people were doing? Well, besides going to church, which was a good thing to do, they were on their porch reading their newspaper. They were taking it easy. They were enjoying the day that they had. I don't think anybody in Mayberry ever rushed. Except Barney, right? James says, you too, be patient and stand firm. Another command, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming near. Be patient and stand firm. Wow. Lord, I'm going through this tough time. I don't really understand why. However, I know that you're in it. I know that eventually it's going to come to an end. I know that if I obey you through this, that, Lord, you're going to do something great for your glory, not for mine. But I'll come out with a stronger faith. Then he follows that up with what? Don't grumble against one another. Brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. You know, our tendency is when we become impatient, we tend to get snappy, grumpy, right? I see a lot of heads nodding. I see some elbows poking the sides of people. Isn't it true? Right? We become angry in our spirit. Listen, to pick on sports a little bit, I like sports. I particularly like baseball. But even though I think golf takes a lot of skill, it's a sport, no question about it. Watching golf is like watching grass grow, you know, for me. It's like, you know, watching grass grow. But having said that, there are times I was drawn really into the game just to say, hey, this guy hit this ball a tremendous distance, and it was on course. It landed where it was supposed to be. And you begin to appreciate some of the stuff. I want to offer this to you. Perhaps we don't enjoy God and our relationship as much as we ought to, as much as He intends us to, because we're not patient. We don't take time, excuse the cliche, we don't take time to stop and smell the roses. We don't take time to appreciate the creation of God. We don't take time to even appreciate one another, because if I'm impatient, guess who I'm going to be grumpy with? Right? And vice versa. And we get in a bad mood and we grumble against one another. Did you see what so-and-so did? Yeah. What nerve. Did you see that? And he's saying, look, be careful here, because you're violating the law that the judge made. Remember that from earlier in James? Here it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and might. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be patient, stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Now, when I say the Lord, I don't know when He's coming back again. Nobody does. Don't let anybody fool you. Nobody does. But that doesn't mean it's going to be 10 years, 100 years, 1,000 years. It could be today. It really could be today. Are we ready? Brothers and sisters, as an example of obedience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Every prophet in the Old Testament was killed for speaking the truth, for loving sinners. They were killed. And when times got tough and they got discouraged, you know what they did? Most of them, with the exception of Jonah. It's another story. They went before the Lord and they pleaded their case. Lord, am I the only one who believes? Because they got so discouraged. They were preaching the message that God gave to them. Nobody was listening. So he thought. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, others. And God, in his patience, God in his patience just said, you know, it's not up to you. Just keep on being faithful. Keep on being faithful. You know what he did with Jeremiah? He said, I want you to sit under this tree. I want you to take a nap, eat some food, get refreshed, stop your grumbling, and then go on. Sometimes that's a good prescription for us, isn't it? Reset the button. Thank you. Thank you. The prophets. The prophets didn't, none of the prophets had it easy, including the last of the Old Testament prophets, which was John the Baptist, by the way. He goes on to say, there you go. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You see that word? Excuse me one second. Perseverance and patience are linked together. You can't have perseverance without patience. It's just impossible. And so they're linked together. This is why in the American Evangelical Church we have such a high dropout rate. Because where patience is lacking, perseverance is going to suffer. By the way, where patience is lacking, love is lacking. They're all interrelated. You have heard of Job. Oh, man. Job's perseverance. And have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. You know the story of Job, right? God, Satan came to Job and said, he's not really going to trust you when suffering comes along. And God said, Job, I think you're wrong. I'll tell you what, Job, I give you permission to do anything you want, but you don't take this man's life. And you watch. And Job said, you got a deal. Satan said, you got a deal. So what happens? Catastrophically, he loses his wealth. He loses his family. He loses his belongings. He loses just about everything to the point where his friends are saying, hey, Job, get this over with. Curse God. Curse God. And Job said, no, no. Even though he's taking everything away, I'm going to be faithful. But Job said, I'm going to have my day in court one day with God. And things didn't get better, they got worse. So Job's wife finally said, hey, listen, be done with this. Curse God and die. Well, you see, in the Jewish culture back then, if something bad happened to you, the assumption was you have sin in your life. And that's not necessarily true, is it? And so everybody wanted the easy way out. Everybody wanted the quick fix. Job, just be done with this. You know, let's get this over with. But he persevered. And the Lord, in his grace and compassion, finally gave Job his day in court. And Job, when he you know, God said, okay, Job, come on, let's have it. And Job presented his case. And God listened. But then it was God's turn to reply. Job, let me ask you a question. Where were you when I created the heavens? Where were you, Job, when I delivered the Egyptians from captivity? Where were you, Job? You know, and what God there did gracefully and in mercy was to reaffirm to Job, he's God. God is God. And Job, you need to learn patience and trust. He got the message. And Job, and God restored to Job, what was it, fourfold? What he lost. Amazing. These aren't just Bible stories. We need to stay on course for the glory of God. With his help and the power of the Holy Spirit, God always promises, God always keeps his promises on time. Because God's full of mercy and compassion. And the last thing. This is, in the original language, is a little awkward, and it's translated in English a little awkwardly too. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no, otherwise you'll be condemned. I want to put this better terms for you. This is saying, don't make God Monty Hall. You know who Monty Hall is? Or what? Let's make a deal. In other words, when you're going through suffering, don't go to God and say, hey, God, if you get me out of this, I'll go to church. God, if you get me out of this, I'll never swear again. God, if you get me out of this, and we tend to want to make these deals with God. Those deals show our impatience and a lack of trust in his provision. And he says, all you need to do is be straightforward with God. A simple yes or no. Just be honest with God. Remember Psalm 37. We don't have time to go there this morning. But in Psalm 37, David was being chased by his own family to be killed. After being obedient to God. And David comes before God and he pleads his case. Lord, here I am. I'm obeying you. I'm doing what you want me to do. Everybody's trying to kill me. What's the deal? I look at my neighbor. He's wicked and evil. He's got it fat, dumb, and happy. And he says, Lord, what's the use? And if you read that psalm, you can read it when you go home. As God worked with him, as he's praying this, he comes and he begins to see from God's eyes that he needed to wait patiently on God because God had greater things for him. Psalm 37, if you can remember that. Then reverse the numbers. Psalm 73. Okay? That's Asaph. Asaph. Ministering for God for a lot of years. And he was having it tough. things were not going well for Asaph. He hit a lot of snags, a lot of suffering, and he comes before God in the same way. And God says to Asaph, Asaph, you need to wait on me. You see how that psalm ended, if you can remember those two. But I want to call you to two instances. The first one, three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they were thrown into the furnace for standing firm for God, the king says, where's your God now? Can he deliver you? And here are these three guys. By the way, the guards who ushered them into the furnace, they died from the heat. And the king says, where's your God now? And they reply simply, our God is able to deliver us. But if not, he still will be glorified. Wow. And let's talk about Daniel. Daniel gets thrown in the lion's den for praying. For praying. And you know what Daniel did in the lion's den? He continued to pray. And what happened when the king came back? He found Daniel and the lion getting along together in a miraculous way. Man, I want to suggest to you, we all have a lot to learn about patience, every single one of us. But patience will come as a result of loving obedience to God and the power of the Holy Spirit. So how are we doing in patience these days? I'd like to suggest to you that our true selves will always come out under pressure or suffering. So I want to give you some symptoms to look for that might indicate we need work in the area. Okay? Here they are. Are we responding to suffering or pressure in anger, bitterness, resentment? If we do, we need to come back to God in faith and repentance. A lack of patience also reveals its a lack of trust in God, his love, and his timing. We need to learn from our wrong and sinful reactions when we're under pressure or suffering and ask God to bring healing and transform us from the inside out. We need to remember that we alone are responsible and accountable for our actions. Nobody else is responsible for your actions but you. Can we get out of the blame game? Can we get out of blaming everything else? Nobody can make you do anything. Isn't that true? Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Nobody can make you do anything, not even the devil. Flip Wilson like us to believe that. The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. He chose it. He just put the bait out there. God always stands ready to forgive and restore us. Always. That's called grace. And I want to end with just this. Keep looking up until Jesus comes. Amen?
Amen.
So. You know what I really thought about doing before the message? I was just going to sit on the chair for about 5 minutes and see how restless you got. I really thought about doing that. And I said, no, I didn't want to end too late. And it was like, okay, should I do it? Should I not do it? So I'll shut up. I asked the praise team to come forward. Now listen, I want you to leave here today with the knowledge that we have all blown it at one time or another. We've all experienced a lack of patience under suffering. However, I want you to leave here with this. When we come to God in true confession and repentance, he's more than happy to restore. Amen? Praise team, would you come up?
as ransom.
Is God's grace amazing? Oh, yes. Would you just give God a hand today, would you? Woo.